So I'll go right into the translation because of time. Due to his causeless mercy upon all living entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his plenary extensions, appeared in the family of Maharaj Vishvaku as the lord of his internal energy, Sita. Under the order of his father, Maharaj Dasarath, he entered the forest and lived there for considerable years with his wife and younger brother. Ravan, who was very materially powerful, with 10 heads on his shoulders, committed a great offense against him and was thus ultimately vanquished. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Lord Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his brothers named Bart, Lakshman, and Shatrughna are all his plenary expansions. All four brothers are Vishnu Tattva and were never ordinary human beings. There are many unscrupulous and ignorant commentators on the Ramayana who present the younger brothers of Lord Rama as ordinary living entities. But here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most authentic scripture on the science of Godhead, it is clearly stated that his brothers were his plenary expansions. Originally, Lord Ramachandra is the incarnation of Vasudev. Lakshman is the incarnation of Sankarshan. Bart is the incarnation of Pradyumna. And Shatrughna is the incarnation of Anuruddha, expansions of the personality of Godhead. Lakshmiji, Sita, is the internal potency of the Lord and is neither an ordinary woman nor the external potency incarnation of Durga. Durga is the external potency of the Lord, and she is associated with Lord Shiva. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4:7, the Lord appears when there are discrepancies in the discharge of factual religion. Lord Ramachandra also appeared under the same circumstances, accompanied by his brothers, who were expansions of the Lord's internal energy, and by Lakshmi Devi, Sita Devi. Lord Ramachandra was ordered by his father, Maharaj Dasarath, to leave home for the forest under awkward circumstances, and the Lord, as the ideal son of his father, carried out the order, even on the occasion of being declared the king of Ayodhya. One of his younger brothers, Lakshmanji, decided to go with him, and also his eternal wife, Sitaji. The Lord agreed to both of them, and altogether they entered the Danyakaranya forest to live there for 14 years. During their stay in the forest, there was some quarrel between Ramchandra and Ravana, and the latter kidnapped the Lord's wife, Sita. The quarrel ended in vanquishing the great powerful Ravana along with his kingdom and family. Sita is Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, but she is never to be enjoyed by any living being. She is meant for being worshipped by the living being along with her husband, Sri Ramchandra. A materialistic man like Ravana does not understand this great truth, but on the contrary, he wants to snatch Sita Devi from the custody of Ram and thus incurs great miseries. The materialists, who are after opulence and material prosperity, may take lessons from the Ramayana that the policy of exploiting the nature of the Lord without acknowledging the supremacy of the Supreme Lord is the policy of Ravana. Ravana was very advanced materially, so much so that he turned his kingdom, Lanka, into pure gold or full material wealth. But because he did not recognize the supremacy of Lord Ramachandra, he defied him by stealing his wife, Sita. Ravana was killed, and all his opulences and power were destroyed. Lord Ramachandra is the full incarnation with six opulences in full, and he is therefore mentioned in this verse as Kalesha, or master of all opulences. Om Agyan Timbadan Dasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bande Ham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padikamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Pitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Pitamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Pyebhacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaho Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasnaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesa Sunyavari Pastyatya De Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Shri Bhagavan Ramachandra Ki Jai. I should just mention that although I've spoken so many times on Ram over the years, this time I feel the most unqualified to speak for some reason. I guess it's now I finally learned my position after all these years. So I'll try to speak something by the grace of the Acharyas and the grace of the Lord. This is, of course, one of the most important of all Vaishnava holidays or celebrations because it illustrates the purpose of the Lord's mission in this material world. And also his loving relationships between himself and his devotees. As we saw from the beautiful drama, expression, dance, how each one of those incarnations of the Lord more or less came as a mission to destroy irreligion or to bring about, again, lost religious principles. So we see here in the pastimes of Sri Ram, how everything was leading up to that particular event of him reestablishing religious principles in the world. And Prabhupada talks about this constantly in his various lectures, in fact, practically every lecture, that this material world is simply fraught with so many difficulties. And it's made like that in order for the living entity not to get comfortable here. It's just a place of strife and conflict. And ultimately everything ends with, you know, death. So where can devotees find shelter? Where can the devotees find happiness? Where can devotees find success? Where can the devotees find the goal of life? Only at the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. There's really no other place one can go. And the Lord arranges that in such a way that he comes in such a powerful way to exhibit his beautiful pastimes, of course for his own pleasure, but at the same time to teach us what we need to learn in our relationship with him and how to strengthen that relationship with him. So as Srila Prabhupada mentions here, that when the Lord does come, he comes with a mission, and he comes with his associates. And his associates are just as powerful as he is. In the Brahma Samhita, it mentions that there is one verse, I don't remember the actual Sanskrit, Deeparchi Eva, who knows it? Does anybody know that word? Deeparchi Eva Satatam. Deepayiteva Humathesa Mana Dharma. Eta district supyapibati govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. That as you take one candle that is already lit, the full candle power, when transferred to another candle power, also has the same candle power is the original lighting candle. And you can continue on the line in lighting many other candles. So the incarnations of the Lord are as powerful as the original source, but they only exhibit a certain amount of power and opulence for a particular type of pastime. Lord Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full. Ramadi Murti Sukalani Yamena Tishtan Nana Vatara Akaro Bhuvane Sukinchu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramam Pamanyo Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. This verse illustrates the different manifestations of Krishna's incarnation, and foremost is Sri Ram. Sri Ram is the most foremost of all the manifestations of the Lord's incarnations, because we worship Lord Ram in full devotional service. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full with all six opulences. But he comes, although he is the Lord, he comes to exhibit certain qualities and characteristics which are indicative and instructive for us to how to live in this world. He was the ideal son. The ideal son. He was about to be coronated the king of practically of the world. Ayodhya, there were millions and millions and millions of loyal citizens all ready to honor this great powerful Kshatriya who was glorious in all sense. And he was, the whole city was just waiting for his appearance. Dasarath had ruled for thousands of years in a very successful way. Now his desire had been fulfilled. He found an heir to the throne, which was practically not equivalent to his qualities, but better than his qualities. A 16-year-old boy who had all good qualities and was loved by everybody. Everybody loved Ram. When Krishna came, it wasn't like that. Krishna was, he's a little hard to understand, so the love is takes a while. But Ram was immediately loved by everybody. And he loved his citizens as much as they loved him, and even more. And so, when it was time for him to take the throne, a very horrible situation came. It seems so horrible. And it is, when we look at it. One of the queens of Dasarath had, actually it says he had 350 wives, and three of them were principal, Kaikeyi, Kaushalya, and Sumitra. And out of those three, Kaushalya was the queen, the king of all the queen of all the queens, and she was the mother of Ram. And Kaikeyi, she was the mother of Bharat, Sumitra was the mother of Shatrughna and Lakshman. These were the three principal queens who produced these four illustrious personalities, manifestations, the incarnations of the Supreme Lord. A lot of people, as Prabhupada wants to make a point here in this purport, that Ramchandra and all his associates are God. They're not less than any aspects of themselves. And when God comes to the material world, he acts in many ways like an ordinary person, or a little more extraordinary than most. But still, he doesn't lose his God potency or power. He's never under the influence of the material energy. But he appears like that. He appears like that. So here, although he is God, and he's about to rule the entire world, and the entire followers in the city of Ayodhya are all well ready to welcome him with such regality and pomp and love, an intrigue happens the day before. One of his queens, Dasarath's queens, Kaikeyi, Prabhupada describes, she was his favorite queen. Although Kaushalya was the one that produced Ram, Kaikeyi was his favorite queen. She was the youngest of the three, and she had saved his life on the battlefield when he was in great danger. And at that time, he gave her a benediction. He said, "My dear queen, you have done a wonderful service. Please take two benedictions from me, because I can give whatever you request. He had that power. She said, now is not the time. Give me some time. When the time comes, I will ask for it. So he became patient. Now, Prabhupada explains that when a kshatriya gives his word, it's better to give up his life. This is a quality of a real kshatriya. Dignity, honor, chivalry, prowess, power, protection of others remains foremost, even more than their very life. And Sri Ram exhibited that. So when the time came for Ram to be coronated on the throne, an intrigue came. And it's very instructive how this intrigue came. Kaikeyi she loved Ram, they say, just as much as anybody did, or maybe even more. She loved Ram greatly. But somehow or other, she got into bad association. Her maidservant, Mantara, was envious and was thinking that, if Ram, the son of Kaushalya, becomes the king, my queen, Kaikeya, will be second class, and what about me? I won't get all the perks and benedictions and favors that I'm getting now. Envy. Prabhupada said, envy destroys all good qualities. Destroys all good quality. And she spewed that envy in a very expert way. Not only was she envious, but she knew how to speak it in a very convincing way. And somehow Kaikeyi became convinced that yes, actually it is better that my son Bart take the throne. And not only that, you're right, Ram will not be happy if my son Bart gets the throne, and therefore he will take his armies and try to destroy Bart. Better he goes to the forest. Amazing how the association of an evil-minded person can influence a very sweet and loving personality who has all good qualities. Association. And Prabhupada warns us, be careful about association. Always associate with devotees, or always associate with those who are favorable to devotional service. Otherwise, even though we may have many good qualities and exhibit them, by hearing and associate with people who are either evil-minded or envious, we get affected. We can become affected. So this is a cautionary principle in the Ramayana. Do not hear negativity from people who are envious. Even about devotees, sometimes we see devotees speak about devotees in a less than glorifiable way. This pollutes the mind and makes the heart somewhat unsteady. And then when that happens, we start to believe. Even if we don't believe it fully, it makes a difference. Just like I read something just recently about a horrible situation that happened. I won't describe. But every once in a while, and it was so horrible, I wanted to forget it. And it happened to a devotee. And every once in a while, that horrible situation appears in my mind again, and immediately I just want to kick it out. But when it first appeared in my mind at the beginning, I was thinking about it. Then I realized, this is not the way to think. One has to remove these negative thoughts. Otherwise, how can we think of Krishna? How can we worship Krishna? How can we chant Krishna's name? So when we hear these things, it's not beneficial. So Kaikeyi influenced, and then she took her boons. Bart becomes the king. You know, Dasarath didn't have any problem with that. All right, Dasarath, even Ram didn't have any problem. But banishing Ram to the forest for 14 years, why? He couldn't understand that part. But she was determined, and she had made her plea, and he promised. In fact, and because of that, actually, It cost him his life. He gave up his life in separation from his son. But Ram, when he heard that this is what it, with the request of his father, although his father requested it reluctantly, only because of a promise, what did Ram do? He accepted it. My dear father, if this is what you want, I will follow. Amazing, right? Amazing. Obedience to parents. That's not very prominent in this age, is it? Obedience to children, that's the prominence, right? Seriously. What do the kids want? Yes, we're the parents, we're here to... So things have changed a little, a lot. So we sometimes see how Kali Yuga influences. Parents are meant to be respected on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It says that second to God is mother and third is father. Just in case you want to know the order. That's why nobody remembers Father's Day, but we all remember Mother's Day, right? I remember when I'm in the United States, Mother's Day, I can never forget the day and also the importance. But someone, oh, today's Father, really? Okay, all right, yeah. So I'm not putting down the fathers, you know, because wherever there's mother, there's father. So, but the Shastras, this is the Manu Samhita, mentions that, you know, first we worship, honor God, and then mother, and then father, and then well, there's a friend or something else is in between there. Demigod. Yeah, wife is also there. It depends on your understanding of that one. So, but the point is that he followed that principle to the perfection, and he was willing to go to the forest. When Sita heard, she wanted to come. Ram said, "You can't go to the forest. It's cold. It's dark. It's full of danger. There's nothing to eat. Where are you going to sleep? You're going to have to lie down on the ground. It's not a place for a princess. You're accustomed to royalty. All of your clothes are so beautiful. You'll have to wear tree bark. How will you undergo such austerities? You'll simply die." And what does she say? Amazing statement, what she said. She said, "Ayodhya without you is like the forest, and the forest with you is like Ayodhya." Wow. Such dedication to husband. There's another principle that was followed. How a wife follows the husband. Now, that's a controversial statement in Kali Yuga. But if the wife, if the husband is like Ram, then you should follow him. If he's not, then you should help him become like Ram. Does that make sense? No. Yes. Okay. Nobody's complaining about that one. All right. But that's the point. Anyway, we work together to encourage each other to come up to a higher standard. That way the relationships become stronger, both on the devotional platform and on the day-to-day life in this world. Both are there. So, what could Ram do? Her love and her dedication was so strong, and to leave her would have been worse than death for her. So he accepted. Lakshman said, "I'm also coming." Ram had no problem with that. So they went to the forest in obedience to their father. So we learn from this particular pastime, this particular essence, you know, Ram is known as righteous, someone who will live by religious principles no matter what. Makes religious principles the principles of dedication and activity. And they say, if you live by principles, you live. If you live because of what is convenient, you never become happy. How people think, or how people act, or how people want you to think and act, if they're against religious principles and you accept that, your heart doesn't become happy. Although you may accept it in order to carry on the social level. But those who live by religious principles actually live. and they become glorious. So Ram wanted to teach us the principles of religion. Material attachment. There's so many principles in this pastime about material attachment. What is material attachment? That attachment that interferes with our devotion to Krishna. To have material things is normal, natural, and acceptable. But to be attached to them causes one to forget about the goal of life and to accept these attachments over our own spiritual practice. Sita and Ram, Lakshman, they were in the forest for how many years? They were there for 13 years. Ram had defeated a powerful army. We heard it in the Ramastikam. Of 14,000 soldiers, invincible soldiers, the best soldiers of Ram and his army, headed by Trisira, Kara, and one other gender, Kabanda? What was that? Dushara, was it?
Dushara.
Ah. And when Ravana heard what had happened, his sister, what was her name? Suparnaka. She came back and said, "Hey, Ravana, you know there's this woman that is perfect for your entourage of ladies," and he described her in detail. She did in detail. Ravana was overwhelmed with lusty desires. He couldn't think of anything else he wanted to have. He went. He decided, but she warned him. He is so powerful. Ravana was besides himself. He couldn't understand how one person, single-handedly, Lakshman was there, but Lakshman was guarding Sita. There's that place, if you go to Nasik, there's a cave where Sita was placed in this underground cave. You can go there and visit today. It's a beautiful place. Panchavali, I think it's called. And Lakshman went there, and Ram single-handedly, in a very short time, made very nice destruction of these 14,000 powerful soldiers. It was easy for him. But he looked like an ordinary human being to everyone else. And so when Suparnika was describing, she warned Ravana, you know, he's not an ordinary personality. So if you're going to capture his wife, you better have a good plan. So he decided, okay. Now his lusty desires were completely aroused. Ravana was a personification of lust. There are six enemies of the conditioned soul. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Mohan, Madha, and Matsarya. Six enemies are called six demons. The six enemies that were killed by the Lord, Hiranyakashipu was the personification of pride. Hiranyaksha was the personification of greed. Ravana, personification of lust. Kumbhakarna was the personification of illusion. Shishupal was the personification of envy. And Dantarvarka was the personification of anger. The six demons that were killed by the Lord in his different incarnations. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that lust in contact with the material mode of passion destroys everything and everybody. That was Ravana. What is lust? Lust is that desire that can never be satisfied. Sometimes people think, oh, I got to fulfill my desires. Each time you fulfill your material desires, guess what happens? They grow. They get worse. They become stronger. It's not like, oh, it's like Prabhupada used the example, when you throw a log on the fire goes down for some time, and it appears that the log puts out the fire. Or Zach slows down the fire. But give it some time, and the fire will even burn stronger than before. So every time the living entity tries to satisfy the lusty desires, there's some immediate satisfaction. But that is just the indication of what is about to come. Later on, that same desire becomes even stronger and stronger and stronger. Therefore, Ravana was never satisfied. He had everything. His brothers, his wife, everyone told him, "You have everything. Why are you chasing after this other man's wife? You have everything. You have a kingdom, followers." He was intelligent. He knew the Vedas. He came from a good family. His father was a Brahmana. He had everything that every materialist would ever aspire for and ever achieve. Never satisfied. Never satisfied. They say, if you're not satisfied, you're not happy. And if you're not happy, what's the use of anything you have? Right? That's the point. The more one tries to fulfill material desires, the more we become less satisfied. So, Ravana was like that. And so he made a plan to capture Sita. What did he do? He went to Maricha. He said, Maricha had retired. He was on unemployment. He was in the demon's unemployment line. He was just pretty much, I had enough of this demon program, you know, I'm just going to go to the forest and finish my life, just eating roots and fruits and living my life. Because, well, it's mentioned that when Vishwamitra Muni came to the kingdom of Dasarath, there was these two demons that were disturbing his sacrifice. So Dasarath sent Ram and Lakshman, who were two young boys, and Subahu was killed, and Maricha, shot an arrow, and he knocked him 800 miles into the ocean. Wow, with one arrow. 800 miles with one arrow. And he said, "That's it, I quit. I'm retiring. I'll just go chant Hare Krishna somewhere." No, not exactly like that, but anyway. So Ravana went to him and said, "Listen, Maricha, I got a plan. And you're a great mystic. You can change your form at will, and you're an expert in that. So I need you to help me fulfill my plan." Maricha said, "What is your plan?" And then he explained. He said, "Oh, it says that every time he said the word Ram, even before he said the word Ram, when he would do word, as soon as he heard R, he would shake in fear. That was his mood after he had met Ram's arrow. So he wasn't about to do anything. So after hearing Ravana's explanation and his plan, he said, "Forget it. This person is the Supreme Lord himself. Forget it. I'm not going to do it." And Ravana said to him, "If you don't do it, I'll kill you." Haribo made it clear what he was going to do. So Maricha thought about it and he said, "All right, if I do it, I'll get killed by Ram, and if I don't, I'll get killed by you, so that's my destiny. Better to get killed by Ram. At least I'll get some benediction." So he decided. And then they were living in Chitrakoot at the time. And Ram, Sita, there was only 1 year left. They were about to return to Ayodhya. And the anticipation of coming back to the city of Ayodhya was starting to develop more and more. During that time, I've living in the forest for 13 years, so many austerities, so many demons came to disturb. Finally, it was coming to the end. And all of a sudden, one day when they were all there, Sita, Lakshman, and Ram, this beautiful deer, it was an amazing deer, so beautiful in color. It was like translucent, and it had all these beautiful gems, green, and all these beautiful gems that were like translucent. They were so beautiful and sparkling, and they had a glow to it. They were all over the body of this beautiful deer. Sita, she saw. She said, "Oh, Ram, isn't that a beautiful deer? Wouldn't it be nice to bring it back to Ayodhya when we go back? Ram didn't say nothing. Well, she was persistent. She said, please catch that deer for me. And then the deer ran into the forest. That was Maricha in the form of the deer. And she said, oh, my dear Ram, because he wants to fulfill the desire of his loving wife. So she encouraged him. And finally, Lakshman said something. He said, I don't know if exactly this is the words he said, but I know all species of life, and this is not one of them. I don't think this is one of the 8,400,000. But anyway, after hearing the doubts of Lakshman and Ram was not enthusiastic, she was more and more persistent. Finally, he agreed, and he left. And he said, Lakshman, I'm going. You guard Sita. It's dangerous. There's so many Rakshasas, dangerous animals. Stay here. So Ram went after, and the deer was fast. Maricha, in the form of the deer, was running and running and running, and Ram was chasing after. So after some time, Ram realized, this is not a deer, it's a demon. Sorry about that. He just shot his arrow, and then caught Maricha. And then Maricha, in order to make some, get a little bit of, I don't know what the word is, but he was ready to do something to make something else happen. So while he was dying, he said, Sita, Lakshman, help! Yeah, thank you very much. I need the mercy of Lakshman in this class. Thank you. He's the personification of the spiritual master. So he called to Lakshman in Ram's voice perfectly. He imitates Ram's voice perfectly. Sita hears it. Lakshman hears it. Lakshman doesn't move. Sita says, your brother's in trouble. Go. Lakshman said, he can take care of himself. He doesn't need me. Sita said, why are you staying here? He's calling from you. He needs your help. Go. Lakshman said, I'm staying here to guard you. It's dangerous. I can't leave. This is his instructions. She said to him, something that pierced his heart worse than the sharpest arrow. She said to him, you have always wanted to enjoy me. Now you're taking that advantage. Whoa! It was like the greatest insult. Lakshman never even looked beyond her, what we say, lotus feet. He would not even look at her in her transcendental, beautiful face. He was always respecting her as the property of Ram and honored her as a glorious lady, giving her all respect and all honor. Now she's accusing him of being, what we say, envious of Ram and desirous of her. Whoa. Lakshman couldn't take it. And she was persistent. Lakshman said, all right, I'll go. He was angry. And he took his bow and he drew a circle around her and said, this is a vyuha. Stay within it, chakra vyuha. If you stay within it, you'll be protected. I'm going. He left. At that time, Ravana came, disguised as a sadhu. This is another nice point. Prabhupada makes the point. There are so many sadhus these days. But who's a real sadhu? One who actually teaches the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And teaches one that everyone else is the Lord's servant. The sadhus nowadays, many of them, teach how to become powerful in this world, how to overcome difficulties, how to get various types of material benedictions, like that. They teach mystic power, they teach so many things. I remember I was listening to one sadhu speaking. He was at the Kumbh Mela. This was just recently, Kumbh Mela. And he's just talking about himself. He says, I'm a Baba. Baba, BA. I got two BAs. Not just one. I'm a Bubba. BA. So I realized, yes, this is Kali Yuga. This is Kali Yuga Bubba. Anyway, I'm the creator, so just if you're wondering what's happening. So, yeah. And so this imitation sadhu, who was actually a demon in disguise, was very expert at speaking. And he said, "Oh, Mataji, I have been fasting for 3 days. I'm so hungry. I'm so weak. I'm starving. You are so nice. You are so kind and generous. Please bring me something to eat." And her heart was touched by the words of this so-called sadhu. And she said, "Yes, please come." He said, "No, I can't walk. You have to come to me. I'm so weak." Nice words. Very enchanting. Yes. He somehow or other... She forgot. She forgot the instructions given by Lakshman. Don't leave. We should never forget the instructions given by the spiritual master. Another important point. And she went outside to bring some food, and then that was Ravana's opportunity, and then he took her away. When Ram came back, after he saw Lakshman, he was thinking, "Oh, she's in danger." They went back, and then Sita was gone. And that begins the whole intrigue of how to find Sita. So what is Ravana? What does he stand for? He stands for the greatest materialist. Prabhupada explains this very detailedly in this particular pastime, that the modern people in this world, they want to enjoy the property of the Lord without the Lord. And he says that is the business of Ravana. Ravana wanted to enjoy the property of the Lord without the Lord, but what did he get? He got death. Instead of getting Sita Devi, he got Mahakali, or Durga Devi, in the form of destruction. So the point is, and Prabhupada makes this over and over again, and it's a very important point, that as the living entity is making progress in spiritual life, also Sita Devi also comes along with that. Wherever there's Narayan, there's Lakshmi. Wherever there's Narayan, there's his goddess of fortune. She cannot leave him. But one who tries for the goddess of fortune without the master of the goddess of fortune, or the proprietor of all fortune, doesn't get Lakshmi anymore. They get something else like that. So devotees know this, but materialists have a problem with that. But maybe even in our lack of understanding, we think, or mistakenly think, that we can enjoy the things in this world. But everything in this world has a purpose. And the purpose is to be used in the service of the Lord. That is the principle of devotion to the Lord. And so Ravana couldn't understand that. Therefore his family, his kingdom, all his followers, everything was destroyed, including himself, of course. So, in this Ramayana, there are so many, 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 many lessons that we can learn in our practice of devotional service. In fact, Ram came to teach practically a principle. And one of the most amazing things in all the principles that he taught is how compassionate and how kind and how forgiving and how welcoming is the Supreme Lord when one surrenders to the Lord. Even if one is the greatest of all demons and is full of sinful activities and bad qualities, if they somehow or other receive the mercy of the Lord and change, it's like those demoniac qualities and tendencies are not even seen by the Lord. He doesn't even recognize them anymore. One becomes what we say, welcomed by the Lord as just as good as anyone else. And that was illustrated when Vibhishan decided to leave his brother because of his brother's lack of understanding of the Supreme Lord and came with his followers to surrender to Ram. And Ram said something very wonderful. When the monkey soldiers, headed by Sugriva and others, were wondering, what is this demon coming? He's probably just coming to spy on us, and he just wants to come in our association so he can go back to Ravana and give away all our military plans. Ram said, no. Anyone who comes and says to my dear Lord, from this day on I am yours. And then the Lord says, then I guarantee to take that person back to the spiritual world. That's a prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. It's from the Yudhyakanda in the Ramayana, which describes how the Lord will take anyone and everyone back home, back to Godhead, who simply says, with sincerity, my dear Lord, from this day forth, I'm yours. And then it's just a matter of the Lord's mercy entering into the life and bringing one back to the spiritual world like that. I know we're running out of time. There is one other story, or not story, but little point I wanted to make. And this is that when they were building the bridge over the ocean, they were throwing the boulders into the ocean, and they were writing the names of Ram on the boulders. And as the boulders were going into the ocean, the boulders were floating. And gradually they built a bridge. Only because of the name of Ram was written on each and every one of the rocks. So, and the indication or the point is that here is the way to cross over the ocean of material existence by the glorification and the chanting of the Lord's holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So out of all the processes of devotional service, everything we engage in must be accompanied with the chanting of the Lord's name, and that makes all the other processes successful and perfect in our execution. So there's so much more. I have one little story. Would you like to hear it before I leave? It's kind of I heard it from one great personality in a class, and I don't know where it's from, but I'll read it anyway. Should I read it? You're not going to criticize me, are you? Just to let you know ahead of time. Anyway, you can. Okay, you ready? Vibhishan, brother of Rama, Ravana, was a devotee of Lord Ramachandra. Once Ravana came to the house of his brother and saw the name of Rama written on his wall. He became furious, saying, how you can worship my greatest enemy? What kind of brother are you? But Vibhishan, being very intelligent, said, my dear brother, you don't understand. Your wife's name is Mandodari, which is actually the first two letters, and your name and hers is R-A-M-A. When Ravana heard this, he was jubilant. He said, oh, that's very nice. But this glorious name should not only be in your house, it should be all over the city of Lanka. And so they put this name all over the city of Lanka, and that way they welcomed Varun Brahmachandra. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj told that pastime in Mayapur just this year. So, without further ado, do we have time for one question or comment from anyone? Is there anyone? One question, comment, anyone?